is harav masar lishneim migeret macha'a harifa lebalei hakirkas. He immediately dashes off a very strong letter of protest to the owners of the circus, warning them shehadavar alul lahavi letotzeot chamurot, that they're going circus owner takes the Rav's letter, Vishaal, and he inquired im harav noten brachot legoy, whether this rabbi blesses goyim. Those who delivered the letter said, anulo sheharav yayane beratzon lechol socharei b'yachotav. Anyone who comes for blessings, he's ready to give blessings. Immediately the circus owner goes in person to the Rav, b'kesh slichato, begs his forgiveness. Goes ahead and promises that he's going to cancel the Shabbos performance, and he leaves him a contribution for tzedakah. Now, when you hear that this is the way Chilul Shabbos was prevented, don't focus on the circus owner. Who are the Mechallelei Shabbos? The Jews who were going. That was the issue. He's worried about a goy. He's worried about the Jews. And how do you prevent the Jews? What is he going to do? Tell them to stop? He can't. Cannot tell them to stop. They're not going to listen sometimes. Make public demonstrations? They surely aren't going to listen. And this is the way he looked for all kinds of etzos to be able to be able to overcome the resistance in the most mild manner.
But again, in all due respect to the current leaders, like we said, you know, we don't have leaders who could do that today, given the circumstances. Aren't the people, the perpetrators, also different that we're dealing with?
Nonsense.
I mean, if we went to today on Shabbat to a soccer game at the YMCA soccer ground.
Yeah.
And you've got someone equal to Rav Kook, if there could be such a thing. Given the players on the field, could he go up to those players? I mean, the players on the field 50 years ago were in one mentality. Could he go up to that same group of players today, their current mentality, and say, stop the soccer game right now?
Unquestionably, yes.
Yes, okay, I'm just...
In my considered opinion.
Do you think that there was a difference in the mentality of the people that you're...
I'm telling you unquestionably yes. Okay? Unquestionably yes. Only trouble is that those people over there, those soccer players, whenever they see a rabbi, they only see the rabbi for one of two reasons. Number one, to make trouble. Or number two, to go bury the dead. They have no other contact with the rabbi. Simple as that. It's either a veto, don't do this, don't build, don't go, don't pray, or when you need them for the dead. Now, that's not an indictment of the rabbinate. It's an indictment of the system. But I'm telling you clearly, yes. As a matter of fact, I've seen it happen.
Here it seems to me, even from this little story, is that somehow he knew. I mean, how he knew, but somehow he knew the personality of this, you know, this particular goy. How the goy would react. I mean, it's so weird that the goy should be, you know, the guy should be asked this question and then react this way. I mean, somehow he must have had some. It seems like he had some kind of sense as to how this person was going to react.
The man. Would look at you and could know what you're all about in 2 seconds. The figure you are. It was a genius of the man. Let's take it further.
I could come up with a scenario. If I'm a guy coming in with a circus and I see a sign, hey, and that wants you to close down, someone from the workers tells me, I'll go around and ask, who's this? Now to put up a sign there and say he's an honored rabbi of this whole population here. And if you don't listen to him, he's going to tell him not to come to you for the next couple of weeks. So you better listen to him. I mean, why is it so hard to understand? I'm sure he didn't just listen immediately because, hey, Rabbi put up a sign that we shouldn't play on Saturday.
Did you read the story? That's not what he asked.
That means someone come for a blessing. But that's, Goyim always do that. They believe in a lot of blessings.
I mean, this person had a particular, not everybody, you think everybody would ask this, I mean, he had a particular, some particular feeling, some particular Indian, I mean.
Man's a businessman. You want to ruin my business, I'll come and I'll cut you down.
No, I'll do whatever you want in order that you don't ruin my business. You want me to close for a day? Good.
Yeah?
Don't close me for the rest of the week.
That's why you give tztaka. That's why you ask, does he give brachas?
God, Krishna, we're really blessing everything. Okay, it's not so far-fetched to me, it seems.
Mike, you speak Yiddish? I was in Yiddish, and you sit there, and I read the Heilige Teure, and you sit there a whole hour, and you understand it. What's all sticky talk?
I'm going to translate.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to translate.
Do you understand what I said to you?
Abyssal. You're going to speak a little words of the Holy Torah, and I'm going to sit there and not know what you're talking about, so.
Mike?
Well, I didn't understand.
Parlez-vous français?
Un peu.
How much more than un peu?
Je ne sais quoi.
And if I sat there for an hour and I spoke French, what would you do?
I don't understand the question.
Could I hold you legally responsible for anything that I said to you in that hour in French? He says, if you understand this, then you understand the nature of the entire generation. Okay? You talk to someone in a foreign language, you don't hold the person responsible for the knowledge that you have conveyed to the person because the person does not understand that language. He says, this is the mentality of our door. They don't understand the language of Torah as close as they were in those days. Yeah, they haven't been educated in a proper, organic way, in a dynamic way that it's made an effect on them. Yeah? And when you tell them that they're no good and they're doing Avera, so they understand the concept of an Avera? They don't. And you want to hold them responsible for that? He says, I'll be Alocha, you can. Take a look at page 4, item number 5. Huh? Worse, even worse. He says, this is the whole fallacy with what's going on in his day and generation. He writes a letter, page 4, item number 5. He writes a letter to Rav Pinchas HaKohen Lintov, and he writes as follows. The letter exists. This is part of the letter, and quote, Shekol asinos kulom v'chom redineihem hinei ne'amarim rak b'mi shekvar barilanu shekiyamnu bo mitzvah satochacha. Do you know when you can hate a Jew when he's not frum? Only when you are 100% sure that you are mekayim the mitzvah of tochacha of rebuke. Kasher ein baru lanu, when this is in doubt, but dor hazeh especially. And not only that, v'lo b'kama dor shelefaneinu, there were generations before, al pi edus Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva already said that in his days, mishi yodei lochiach, that there's no one who knows how to speak the language to be able to give, what do you call it, to be able to give tochacha to a person. Okay, nafal puta babira. Therefore, you are entire, the whole system falls. V'chol halachot hanotot l'roges v'sinat achim. Then, all the halachos that we speak about concerning getting angry with a Jew, or sinat achim, hating a Jew because he's not keeping the Torah, is na'asotein kiparshat ben sorer amora. These are identical to what the Gemara says about Ben Sorer Amora, Lo Hoya Velo Nivra. It never existed. So why does the Torah put it in if it never existed? It's an ideal, theoretical construct. If from the ideal theoretical construct, you can learn practical lessons. It never happened. Or Ir HaNidachas, according to some in the Gemara, there was never a city that was destroyed, even though the Torah writes about what to do with Ir HaNidachas. Bayis HaMenugah, L'manda Amar Lo Hoyu V'lo Hasidim Liyos. What about a house? The Torah speaks about in Parshas Mitzor. But a house suddenly has a negav, a bayis. These things never happen. At least according to one opinion. That Lo Hoyu V'lo Hasidim Liyos. The only reason that these were put in, they were put in for theoretical ideal constructs. Nichtavu mishum drosh v'kabel sachar. Understand this ideal state and you will understand what to apply and what to learn in lesser than ideal situations. Mashma, from this you learn, shasina gam kishihim uteres. The only time hate is ideally allowed is hareze rak la'acha tochacha. It's only after rebuke. If you can't have tochacha, which we can't have today, you are not allowed to go ahead and hate someone who doesn't follow the Torah. And he used a very cogent, piercing mashal. The person only speaks French. He understands no other language. If we take all 70 languages of the world, and then some, and give him tochacha, except for French, it's obvious we have not observed the mitzvah of tochacha, mishum shehu lo hevin et vareinu, because obviously he didn't understand a word you said. Ube'etzem ma'u adel bein svat ha'per l'svat ha'moach. He says, what's the difference between a language that emanates from your mouth and the language of your emotions, of your mind, of your brain, of your heart? Im mocho shel ish oto anu mochichim eino tofes et ha'asbarot ha'alachtiyot she'anu masbirim lo. If the mind is not capable of understanding this whole system and what we're trying to explain to him and what the evil is that he is perpetrating, is vaday shelo kiyamnu bo mitzvah tochacha. We haven't gone ahead and observed the mitzvah tochacha. Ma makom yesh kan l'sino. If that's the case, whoever gave you a right to hate him? Is ein safek shasur the son of Obich Gonzer. There's no doubt in my mind that al pi halacha there is no way in the world that you can go ahead and hate that person. He doesn't understand you. He just doesn't understand you. Now, interesting. If you take a look at the next two items, you'll see how he tried to gain understanding. I'll give you a mashal. Would you take a tape cassette, and try to put it, this tape cassette that we are now recording, which is an audio tape cassette, and put it in your VCR, which is a video tape cassette? Would you put the same thing in? Obviously not. But it's a cassette. Obviously not. So you change the name, you call it an audio cassette rather than a video cassette, and you know you have two different entities. People love to do the exact same thing. We change our names. In other words, we change our labels. Well, I'm not this. I'm something else. The one that he hated most, the label that he hated most is, Ani lo dati, I'm not religious. When a Jew said that to him, he absolutely went off the wall. And take a look at number 7. Pam achat yashav etzel harav echad mechavrei kibbutz smoli yadua. One shomer atzair kibbutz, a left-wing kibbutz, had one of its members sitting in front of Rav Kook. Toch kidei sicha amal toch haver kibbutz, and they were discussing certain things, and the reaction of this kibbutznik was, well, ani eneni dati, I am not religious. Tfaso harav biyado, so he grabs his hand, lachatza b'choska, and he holds it tightly, v'amar, ma ata medaber? Ata incha dati? What are you talking about? You are not religious? What's the matter with you? You are not religious? After years, this Chaver Kibbutz meets Rav Tzvi Yehuda. In other words, Rav Kook's son, Rav Kook's only son. And the kibbutznik tells Rav Tzvi Yehuda, the son, everything. And this left-wing kibbutznik, Ani lo dati, right? I'm not religious, tells Rav Tzvi Yehuda, the son, Ad hayom, till today, Odeni margishet lechitzat yado shel Rav. I still feel
Judy.
The Rav holding my hand.
Judy.
Yeah?
Judy.
That's talking a language.
Judy.
That's the issue of talking the language.
It doesn't matter.
Good.
Is there... is there something similar to this, I think Rabbi Stern quoted Hatam Sofer about the Russia, that there's no Rishayim?
Chazonish. Yes, openly, Chazonish.
Where is that?
Oh, Yerodea. I can show it to you openly. There's a din in Yerodea that certain Rishayim is Moridim Veloma, and if they get stuck in a bore, in a pit, and if you leave them there, they'll die, better you should leave them. Chazonish says openly this halacha doesn't apply because the circumstances that were intended for this halacha to be applied don't exist. He speaks of it, it's a famous Chazonish. Now, again, either you enter the premises that Rav Kook speaks about or you never understand what he wants. Ani eneni dati, a Jew saying ani eneni dati, to Rav Kook, there's no such thing. If you said Shema Yisrael once in your lifetime, if you had Bris Milah, if you did anything Jewish, there is no... That's correct. That's correct. There is no such thing as Ani Eneni Dati. There may be a Jew that doesn't speak French, you see. And until I tell it to him in the language that he understands, so that his mind is capable of absorbing this, there can be no hate. Which obviously is something that today has been rejected and is not accepted. What's it all about? No two ways about it. Not only the individual, but take a look at item 8. About Ir HaNidachas. Ir HaNidachas is a city that goes ahead and worships Avodah Zarah. Ba'asifat Rabbanim Achat, it was a rabbinical convention. It's Danu Matzav HaShabbat Ba'aretz. They were talking about Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. Kam Gadol Achad, one big Talmud Chacham gets up, and he was one of the convention participants. Va'amar, and he says, Im Yiyula Mashal B'yir Gidola Kamo London Milyon Posha'im. If in London there were 1 million criminals, still... Lo yehela adayin din shel Ir HaNidachas. It still wouldn't be an Ir HaNidachas because it's chutz la'aretz. But ilu la kibbutzim, but if you just take a look at the puny kibbutzim sheba'aretz that we have today in Eretz Yisrael, afal pi shehem kitanim bekamuzam, even though they are so small in number, I'm telling you, says this Rav, yesh lahem din shel Ir HaNidachas. And you know what you do to Ir HaNidachas, according to the Torah. You burn it until it's destroyed. You obliterate the entire city. The mashma advarim alalu. When Rav Kook heard this, kam harav, he jumps up v'amar betokef uva'oz, and he was insistent and he was full of energy. Ani mor da'asra, I am the rov in this place. V'ani pasek, and I've just given you a psak halocha. Kibbutzim shel hayom, ein lahem din shel Ir HaNidachas. They do not constitute an Ir HaNidachas. All
over.
Oh, unquestionably. I have a whole segment of how we relate.
One of the first shirim was that.
But
the machlokas between the short coat and the long coat, different type of yarmulkes.
A whole thing. No two ways about it. From and non from. Let's see what happens. As a matter of fact, some of it I touch here. Let's take a look at the next page. There is a well-known principle today in all kinds of psychology, industrial, motivational psychology, and management, business management. But Chazal knew it a long time ago, and I'm sure ancient philosophy knew it the same way. It's your perception that counts, it's not the facts. That's all. If people believe something, It could be the biggest objective sheker in the world. As long as they believe it, that's the issue. Okay? When Rav Kook started to write the way he started to write, when his policies, you know, when his personality started to come to the fore, so, back home, meaning in Europe, the word spread that he's not one of us. Oh yeah, he's a Rav, but he's modern. Which automatically spells the death knell for Rav Kook being accepted in certain so-called yeshivish circles or black hat circles, whatever you want today. Okay? No, whatever it is. He's modern. That's all. If I were to put it into 1960, 1970, 1980 terminology, what would it be? He's modern, not conservative. He's from YU. He's from YU. This is the point. Watch. Page 5. From Kovna, he wasn't modern. He was old. He was black hat. Yes, oh, but why you is not Rabbi Yitzchok, huh? Take a look at item number 2. Kishenish nifkishu admur migur, when the Ger Rebbe met him, and also together with the Rebbe Misokolov and the Rav Mibendin, they all came larishona im harav, and they met. The first thing that shocked them was hitpalu al tilboshto. They were shocked the way he was dressed. How was he dressed? Tilboshet yereim b'chassidim, was dressed like a chassidish rebbe. Simple as that. Why? Ki lefi ha-musag shehaya biyadam mitchila l'rav. What they heard, their perception of the rav was, hu masher koreim rav moderni. He's a modern Rav. Now, a modern Rav has got to have a shaven beard and a little goatee. You know, he doesn't wear a black hat. Perception. Lex. Now, Rav, this is in direct answer to what you asked about relationships. What were the perception of some frum of him? You'll soon see the other side of the story. The same Rav Moderni, okay, is sitting in the front of the Gera Rebbe, number 3, Toch Kidei Sicha Im Ha'archim Hanal, and when he's talking with these guests, who are all Ger, the biggest Hasidic dynasty in Poland, is Heichel Arav Lomar Dapim Shleimim Mitzvah Semes Alpeh. He, of the first Gera Rebbe, the son-in-law of the Kotzke, the Svasemes, he starts to recite page after page of the Svasemes. And here he's not a Gera Chosid. If anything, he's a Litvisher Rosh Hashiva together with a Chabatzke. But he wasn't a Gera. Ha'olchim higiyu lidei hitrakshus gidola ugiluya migaonito shel harav. They couldn't understand his incredible gaon sitting in front of them. And he's rattling off Sfas Emes. And back home, what did we know of him? He was nothing more than a Zionist political hack who has a government job called the chief rabbi. La'achar sicha imo, number 4, after having conversed with him, Amar Admon Miger, so the Ger Rebbe said about Rav Kook, ki hu baki b'Sfas Emes yoseh mimenu, that he knows more Sfas Emes that his grandfather wrote. In other words, Rav Kook knows better than the grandson, this Ger Rebbe. Sfas Emes was his grandfather. Okay? This modern rabbi. He was not the only one who felt that way. There was a gigantic Talmud Chacham, number 5, Kshala Rab Shapsi Don Yichya, who was a big Latvian, the son of a big Latvian grandson of a famous Talmud Chacham in Latvia, Nechdo Shalagon Rab Eliezer Don Yichya, who was the Rav of Lochin in Latvia. And the grandson came to Eretz Yisrael. So he came to learn in Yeshivat Merkaz Harav. Don Yichya Tarav, the first time he meets him, was Haita B'Shat Kabbalat Shabbat Be'echala Yeshiva. It was Kabbalah Shabbos in the Beis Medrash of the Yeshiva. Harav amad mismol aron kodesh, Rav Kook is at the left of the aron kodesh, and this young fellow, Don Yichya, Rav Shapsi, Don Yichya, this young one is looking at him. Baodosh abechutz laaretz, he remembers that in Latvia, shamad Don Yichya al Rav, he heard that the Rav was Rav Modelny, he was one of these modern guys. Vekan litimhono, and here, to his amazement, he sees an image of a Chassidish Rebbe, Rav Chassidi, Hashar b'hitlahavut b'toch tfilato, who sings with fervor in davening, v'omer b'dveikut, and he says, Hashem echod, the likes of which he's never seen. Mishenoda l'arav miu atzair hazeh, when this young fellow was introduced to the Rav, so Rav Kook says to him, Hikalti et Safcha, I knew your grandfather. Rav Lezer don Yichya Zatzal. Ani lamadati b'gil 15-16 etzlo b'lotchin. I learned when I was 15-16 years old with your grandfather in Lotchin. V'siper az harav l'shapsai don Yichya, and Rav Kook tells the grandson, alam donuto, about what his grandfather really was. V'chein al gvurato shel zekein al Rav Eliezer, about the stamina that this Talmud Chacham had, his own grandfather. Right? But he came to the yeshiva, he's a modern rabbi. You understand? Because we heard back home, which is, again, the nail on the head, the perception allowed the people to believe anything they wanted. And it doesn't matter whether it's today or 70 years ago. Simple as that. Now, tell me, Chafetz Chaim's grandchild, what yeshiva do you think the Chafetz Chaim would pick for him to learn?
What about her?
Him. But they're hymns. Let's start with the hymn first. Give me a choice of yeshivas.
Why you?
Why you?
Mir.
Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim. Okay. One of Chofetz Chaim's grandchildren learned by Rav Kook. Now, you hold, Bruce, you hold from Chofetz Chaim? Huh? Chofetz Chaim says something, you hold from him? You've heard this from me many times. Let's listen to the words of Chofetz Chaim. Rav Tzvi Yehuda, his son, visited the Chofetz Chaim. Let's see what the Chofetz Chaim thought about this modern rabbi. On page 5, number 7.
Zionist rabbi.
Or whatever you want to call him, modern, you know, whatever.
Left one.
Rav Tzvi Yehuda, b'no shel Rav. Rav Tzvi Yehuda, his only son, Rav Kook's only son, found himself in Warsaw, Bishnas Tov Resh Pei Beis, in the year 5,662. 80 years ago. Okay. At the same time, itareach shem Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was in Warsaw. Now, Rav Tzvi Yehuda was a relatively young fellow. Nichnas Rav Tzvi Yehuda lebeis ma'achov shel Chofetz Chaim, like bin panav. Rav Tzvi Yehuda goes in to greet the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim lo yav abayis. Chofetz Chaim wasn't home. Now, the rest of the story is extraordinarily complicated until we come to the meat. I want you to go down and from the bottom of the column count up 2, 4, 6, 8 lines. Bekach kalcha hasicha. And the conversation that was going on around the Chofetz Chaim continues. Vachar sha'av yoter, more than an hour passed, nigash Rav Tzvi Yehuda liparein min Chofetz Chaim. Rav Tzvi Yehuda wants to say shalom aleichem and leave the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim turns to him and asks him in Yiddish, Ahiger, are you from here? Asks the Chofetz Chaim. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda says, no, lo, mi Yerushalayim, I'm a Yerushalmi. Nizdaza Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim jumped when he heard that he was a Yerushalmi. Yeah, Chofetz Chaim, leinei Rav Tzvi Yehuda, you know, the story continues what Rav Tzvi Yehuda's perception of the Chofetz Chaim was. Is he an older generation? Is he a contemporary of his father, etc., and so forth? But when he asks him who he is, in the next column, he says, I am the grandson of the Aderis, Rabbi Eliyahu David Rabinu Itztaomim, who was the father-in-law of Rav Kook Zatzal. I am the grandson. You were a friend of the Aderis, who was the Panovich Rav. When my father's father-in-law was in Panovich, you and he were close friends. Is Nizdazach of Tzchaim Vama? He says, just a minute. He gives a jump and he says, I don't understand. Zait Il Der Zun from the Zaymel Rav? You are the son of the Rav of Zaymel, who was Rav Kook. From the Boiske Rav, who was Rav Kook, after he went from Zaymel to Boisk. From Yafen Rav, after he was in Boisk, he went to Yafo. From Yerushalayim Rav, you are the son? Is Vos Zoksimir from Zayden? What are you talking about your father's father-in-law, the Zayda? He really wasn't the Zayda. Because Rav Kook, Rav Tzvi Yehuda was more from a second wife that Rav Kook had. So what are you talking to me about the Zayda? Zog mir from Taten, tell me about your father. Was macht er? How is he? Mir seinen doch alte gute Freund. We are the best of friends. You see. Tell me, Rav Kook hold from... did Chofetz Chaim hold from Rav Kook? What do you think? I'll show you how he held from Rav Kook. Before you go blasting away at someone. Let me show you what the Chofetz Chaim does, what the Chofetz Chaim says. On page 8, item number 5, talk about how Frum get along with Frum. Bizman HaKnesia HaGdola Shel Agudas Yisrael. In the founding convention of Agudas Yisrael, which was called the Knesia HaGdola, the international convention, is Nichnasu Tzirei HaAguda, the delegates from Aguda, HaYerushalmis, who came from Yerushalayim, came to the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal, and V'nitgalgela Sicha Al Aravu P'giyoteim Shel Kanai Yerushalayim Bo. And the problems that Rav Kook was having with the right wingers, so to speak, were given over to the Chofetz Chaim by the Aguda convention delegates of Yerushalayim. He tria Chofetz Chaim, so he suddenly blurts out the Chofetz Chaim, "Mi hitir divgoa begonu b'tzadika Rav Kook? Whoever gave those tanoim a heter to touch this goyin and this tzadik Rav Kook?" As if that wasn't enough, yeah? There was another maisa that occurred. You just need a word of introduction. Remember that at this time the British have a mandate over Israel. The British wanted to cool things. They wanted to make sure that everything was quiet. So when the fights used to break out in the street between the pro-cook and the anti-cook, British would step in and they would insist on pressing charges. Now you have no idea of what the hashmatzot, what the recriminations were, the counter-recriminations were in the streets. And this was all public. If I had to give you a mashal, you remember that famous day, Pesach time, when Lubavitch walked into Satmar town in Williamsburg? Yeah. And they came out with the steel boots and they were kicking with one another and they called out the police. This happened every single day. And Britain was charged with keeping the peace, and not only the peace among the Jews, but they had to keep the Jews and the Arabs happy and separated. So they had their hands full. Okay? Number 6. Pam achat, once, kishayitpisu mishayitpisu michugea kanim b'Yerushalayim, when all of a sudden there was one of these slanderous announcements and posters, Ksav Plaster Keneged Arab, that was directed against the Rab, is Noda Davar LaMefakeach HaMishtara B'Yerushalayim Da'az, the chief of police in Yerushalayim, whose name was Mav David Tidhar, heard about it, V'hu Hora La'atzor Et HaMetaplim B'Davar U'Laviyam LaMishpat. He went ahead and he pressed charges against those who were suspected of having done this, and he's ready to bring them to court. Gishenoda hadavar, when this was known, is panumikol ve'anetzarim lamartit haba bakashot v'tachnunim l'shachalad. So the relatives of those who were in jail begged that Tidhar not press charges. Ach Tidhar amar, he refuses, lo yesh la'amidam l'mishpat. For more than one reason, they've got to be brought to justice. This cannot continue. Giyazman ha'mishpat, when the trial finally came and they were arraigned, ha'shofet haya mar Mordechai Levanon, the judge was Mordechai Levanon, is gam elav panu bebakashot ha'chamin, they begged for clemency. Ve'af hu amar lo ala mashmitzim lavor al onsham. They must be punished. V'udan otam l'masar l'meshech t'chufa m'siyemet. And he gave him jail. Gave him a jail sentence. As if this were not enough, atzum mekorvei hanidonim el hanetziv elyon. The high royal command of Britain, in other words, the governor, the British governor, whose name was Herbert Samuel, a Jew, but nonetheless a British soldier, career army man. V'itchanenu lefanav ki yiten chanina ladidonim. They begged Herbert Samuel, Sir Herbert Samuel, that he pardon those who were arrested. Usevev, he refused. He said, Yesh lechanech et atzibur, you have to educate these people, shelo lifkoa bichvod harav rashi, that you cannot take pot shots at a chief rabbi. By the way, a title which he hated. Ma lasot, what do? You go to the chief, you know, the chief, the controller of all things, the number one man, and he says no. There was only one choice left. Who do you go to? Rav Kook himself. Hu vaday yislach v'yachus v'yachay. I bet you we can convince Rav Kook to beg for clemency. V'kachaya, exactly the way they expected. Panu al harav u'bikshu rachamim. They asked for rachamim. Mi'eher harav v'alach lebeito shel Sir Herbert Samuel. Rav Kook goes to Sir Herbert Samuel. Nidam Samuel min abikur, and he was totally befuddled. Rav Rashi b'chvodov atzmo, the Rav coming to him, v'hufta mimatarat habikur, he was absolutely floored at the purpose. Bakashat rachamim amash mitzav. Here I am punishing that you shouldn't suffer from them again, and you're telling me I should extend clemency. Achein Samuel amad al dato. Samuel insisted, yesh lechanech et atzibur, you must go ahead and educate. Shelo la'asot ot ma'asim ka'ela. This cannot be done. Ach, however, with the reservation that mikivan she'arav ha'rashi b'chvado v'matzo'o mevakesh rachamim. Here, Rav Kook is coming to beg for rachamim harei tefila oseh mechtza. His prayers and his beseeching at least must accomplish 50%. So instead of a jail sentence, he commuted the sentence to a stiff fine. Let him go from jail, but you gotta pay a fine. The fine was so stiff. Noda hadavar bechugeh mashmitzim vehechela pulat hatrama. So there was a mass collection that was taken up to pay the fine, and they called it magbit, a special fund, the pidyon shvuyim, to redeem the captives. Who are the captives? The ones who are sitting in jail today. And the whole point was, let's get up with the money and get them scot-free. B'samuch lezeh, shortly thereafter, itkansa bevina ha-knesia gedola shel Agudas Yisrael. So this Knesia Gedola was meeting in Vienna, and the Chofetz Chaim came to Vienna. Among those coming from Yerushalayim to the Knesia were those who organized this Pidyon Shvuyim campaign to be able to raise the money. There was one Jew who organized the entire thing, and he was collecting money. Came to the Chofetz Chaim that this money is being collected, and he meets the Jew. Last four lines. Omer Chofetz Chaim, Pidyon Shvuyim. We are redeeming those who have been captive. You think? Who chashav shezoi mitzvah? You think that this is a mitzvah that you're doing? Elohein mitzvos? these are mitzvahs, the money that you're raising? Zoe Yerushalayim, this is what Yerushalayim is supposed to act. Elohim mitzvahs, these are the mitzvahs. Zoe Yerushalayim, this is the way Yerushalayim acts. And Bekol Bochim, he breaks out in tears. Chazar Chofetz Chaim al Milim Elu. He keeps on repeating, these are mitzvahs, this is Pidyon Shvuyim, this is Yerushalayim. Kama v'chama pa'amim, until he breaks down in tears. So whose side did he stand on? Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim had unreserved awe for the man called Rav Kook. Simple as that. You see, but the mentalities that we all have, whether we live today or we live 60 years from now or 60 years ago, is I only select what is convenient. You hear, sir? That's the problem.
One question. And you can shut that up. It's not worthwhile taking. What's the difference between Jewish sensitivity to practices and Christian? When the Pope was almost shot, or whatever the incident, or other things involving Christian prelates and whatever, immediately the first thing you hear in the news is, I forgive him, as if he had power to forgive him. I don't have anything against him. I'm going to help him, whatever.
The woman who lost her husband in that ship accident.
Right.
Sent the Bible to these Iraqi pilots.
Okay. So it's almost like an innate part of...
Yeah.
And yet here we see Jews approaching the Rav Kook, and I guess when they ask them whether they can forgive us and go and speak in for us, there was some possibility in their mind that maybe he wouldn't. Why did he even have to ask? Why is this reflex out to among the Goyim? And to us, you did that to me. I'll get you back.
I will show you next time the reflex attitude that Rav Kook had on this specific issue.
Well, why isn't this a Jewish reflex attitude?
Who says there is?
I'm asking. Well, it's a question.
Who says there is? Okay. Rav Kook had detractors from all segments, not only from the right but from the left also. There were those who hated that he was so. He was such a mesmerizing individual. They wanted to get rid of him. He died of cancer, relatively young man, 60. And he went downhill very, very rapidly after a non-frum issue, which in Yitzchak I'll show you. Okay? And probably 90% of what I want to show you next week, or next session, has nothing more in it than the question to your answer between frum and frum. The whole thing is relationships between frum and frum. The ones I agree with and the ones I disagree with. Now, let me conclude on page 8 with just two interesting lines, a couplet of two lines each. Pam Shalu et Harav, number 7. They once asked Rav Kook, Madua yesh tamit ka'ele hamit naklim elav? Why there are those who are out to get him? Amnavi Amar, so he answers, listen to me. Page 8, number 7. He says, listen to me. Kishi yesh, or did you ever see light? The minute there is light, is nitpalim elav b'derach klauz u'min. It attracts flies. It's a law of nature. Simple as that. Vermin, the minute you allow light to shine on it, is dead. Simple as that. Number 8. Once Rav Kook bared his heart at Rav Levin, Shehu, that he, Rav Kook, Mitpalel b'chol yom al elu she'etzivu et l'chol mordu et chayav, me'eruvu et chayav. He davens every single day for those who gave him a hard time. Shelo ye'yachshu chalila. Chas v'shalom, the Ribbono Shel Olam should take it out on them for what they have to do. Now, tzaddik doesn't happen overnight.
That's something, Mike, in answer to your point. He said, Rav Kook was davening for the people who were fighting.
Yeah, that's nice.
Would answer your...
In tshuva, in Yom Kippur time, when we have to go around and we're told to go and ask forgiveness, Bein Adam L'Chaverah, ask 3 times. Why should we have to be told that? Why haven't we forgiven them a long time ago? Obviously, it's not the norm.
There were only 2 instances when he did not forgive the perpetrators. Two instances meaning 2 models, 2 times, 2 kinds of perpetrators that he never forgave. We let him know that. We'll see next time. Any other time? Who knows how many thousands of instances there were.
Were the criticisms of Rav Kook from the far right community more that his halachic interpretations were too liberal, or that he was this outgoing personality toward the friars?
The second, not the first.
It was. So that's a complete...
That's the whole point. We're talking about psychology.
He was held in awe for his halachic breadth.
Even Bavar, he was criticized, for example, for his Shemitah.
Irrelevant, but his halachic reasoning you couldn't lay a glove on.
But that you find today too. I mean, people will say about Rav Soloveitchik. So they'll still say that he's a great gadol. They'll say, well, students don't understand him. You know, everyone speaks in his name, this or that, or you know, but. You know, they don't say...
Perception, dear sir, not objective truth.
No.
Okay? Because even among the students, you mentioned Rav Soloveitchik, they'll listen to his shiurim, they'll swear by him, and when he gives hashgacha, they won't eat his shiurim. Take my word for it.
That's true, but that's our famous story about the Rav and Langwart.
Yeah.
That's the way you see Rav and Langwart. I mean, if you cannot go by his,
When am I going to convince you guys that we are talking about, again I use the word, models of behavior that repeat themselves over and over again, and we have to decipher them. We have to see them for what they are. They sure ain't halacha. That's for sure. But all this and more, Yetzer Hashem, will we do next time.